0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we head towards a weekend of friendly action for Scotland. Scott McKenna is the latest to pull out of the squad for the doubleheader with Netherlands and Northern Ireland. No replacements called up, so what should Steve Clarke do as we edge towards the Euros this summer? And on the club front, report suggests Celtic could be looking at making Paulo Bernardo's loan move a permanent one. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, two pundits who seem to be permanently here, it is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, international break this week, and while it's all still to play for in the Premiership and the Scottish Cup, I think the players will welcome this break. I wonder if their minds are just starting to look forward to Germany and how these friendlies impact their place in the plane. They'll be, I suppose, probably 90% guaranteed on the plane, but you never know. You might just play your way into the final squad or into the starting 11 for that game against Germany.
I'm looking forward to seeing how Steve Clarke approaches this over the next two games. He's got four goalkeepers. He'll need to make his mind up and obviously leave one back here. Will Shankland play? Will Lewis Ferguson, who's been in terrific form, play? And obviously in the domestic front, you're looking at teams using the international break to get some key players back. I think Hatate had 45 minutes, which is a great boost for Celtic as well. So a lot happening, and looking forward to the weekend.
Yes, come on then. 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight? Scotland play tomorrow, and already this week I feel like we've been bogged down in debates about rearranged fixtures and everyone's favourite topic, VAR, and various other things. Maybe tonight we can actually start giving it a proper preview, because I know it's only a friendly to some people, but friendlies hit a bit different when they're in preparation for a major tournament. So what do you want to see tomorrow? Do you want to see different things tried? Does Lauren Shankland simply have to start? Is that the way you see it? Or is there going to be still a bit of fine tuning done with the guys that played a big part in the qualification campaign? What does Steve Clarke do in goal? Because there are four goalkeepers there, and one of them is going to miss out when the Euros comes around. So do they get rotated over these two friendlies? How do you view it? Scott McKenna's out the squad. Of course, Grant Hanley already pulled out. So would you have liked to seen a replacement called up? If so, who? If not, who out of the current group should line up in defence as well? So any thoughts ahead of it? Maybe you're heading over, maybe you're going to the friendly. That would be nice to hear that. Heading to the Netherlands, give us a call either way on 0141 951 1025. If it is club football though, if you're very much only on the club football mindset, what about this Paulo Bernardo business, Celtic fans? Reports starting to get out there that he could be becoming a permanent signing rather than a loan one. What sort of fee would you be comfortable paying? Would you want to make him a permanent signing at all? Let us know.
Yeah, I can't help but think we've got a missed opportunity here. I forgot the game was in Amsterdam. And you okay over there?
Not really.
Where are we? We'll just film.
Keep talking.
I think we could have went there and soaked in some of the culture that Amsterdam brings, especially with your good self. But look, saying a bit of friendly, I think you're spot on there. I think when you've got a major tournament just around the corner, kind of friendly tag goes out the window. I think we're all interested to see how this Scotland team are shaping up against some serious opposition. Now, we were lucky because we got to see Scotland against Spain, France and England in quick succession. Now, of course, we came out of that with no victories, but they tested themselves against top sides. This is another top side tonight, and of course, our opening game is going
it's
to be
tomorrow,
against a top
remember.
Side. Sorry, tomorrow. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Thanks. And it's a test for the players. They want to test ourselves against the best teams to put ourselves in the best preparation for the tournament, which is just around the corner. So it's a good one. And then Northern Ireland, of course, on Tuesday, it's the one that the home fans will enjoy going along to support and see.
It'll be interesting what he does. I think you make a good point there, Martin, the fact that we've had some really tough friendlies. But you've got to get back to winning ways for me. I think you've got to start, you know, looking, getting in there with a bit of confidence. I want to see some players that, like say, I would love to see Shankland playing. I'd love to see Lewis Ferguson play. Lewis Ferguson is now captain Bologna. Clubs are after him, left, right, and centre in Italy. The reports we're getting of how good he's playing. Look, we've got two friendlies. Give him an opportunity. Give him a game. And it's ideal with the fact that Callum McGregor, who will certainly go to the Euros if he's 100% fit, is not there. So there's a good opportunity there. I don't know how he's going to split the goalkeeping situation. Will it be a case of, would it be nonsense to think that he could give each goalkeeper half in the two games?
Aye.
You think that's a nonsense?
That's nonsense. Aye. Just knock, we're just not under 18 football.
Just knock
here.
That on the head right. Aye. Now. That you 8 minutes past six. Aye. And killed
well, we've got a number one, and that's it. The rest I'm sure
Steve
Clark's
done this before. Split the goal.
45 minutes each.
I don't know.
Not a chance. But I do agree with you in Shankland. I think we would all, in Scotland anyway, like to see Shankland playing, just because we've witnessed what he's done this season. The variety of goals, the way that he's led the line. But I think the fear in my mind about him starting is, you know, the loyalty, the system, the style that Steve Clarke likes, the job that Dykes and Adams have done previously sticks in people's heads as well. And Shankland is the hottest property just now in our eyes. But it's just whether that fits into Steve Clark's system will be the interesting one.
Come on then, what do you think? 0141 951 1025. If you're talking Scotland, the guys have given you a bit of a taster in terms of some of the talking points. Lawrence Shankland, would you like to see him tried in the friendlies? Do you want to see Lewis Ferguson tried out? What do you think should happen with the goalkeepers? Scott McKenna's pulled out. Would you have liked to have seen a replacement called up, or is that not necessary? But it doesn't have to be international football. Celtic fans, what are you thinking about the reports this evening? Paulo Bernardo, he's on loan, a permanent deal potentially could be on the cards. What sort of fee would you be comfortable paying? Would you pay one at all? What do you make of him? Do you think he could come good as a permanent player? How would you assess that situation? That might be one for you to get involved in. And if you've got any thoughts at all, now is the time to share it. Please don't hang around. So 0141 951 1025. A permanent deal for Paulo Bernardo, yes or no? Answer the men to my left. How are you, by the way? Because I was off on Tuesday. It's the first time I've seen you. How was the big birthday weekend in St Andrews? Back fighting
It was
the caravan of love.
The caravan of love, yes. Enjoyed my day. My Saturday night. Enjoyed my Sunday. Didn't enjoy Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, I've got to say.
Three days.
Gordon, wow. Honestly,
please drink responsibly.
But yeah, it's just age catches up with you. I love the birthdays, but too many kill you.
I wish I was here on Tuesday. If only I could have been here on Tuesday witnessing his hangover, a three-dayer.
Do you know, I actually woke up on the Wednesday and thought, how was I on the show with last night? It was the first time I've ever arrived at the studios. I couldn't even come in. I had to go a walk down the river.
That's a bad shape to be in. I imagine him on that Saturday night.
And this is a fact, right? I had two baths yesterday.
To wash the shame away.
Wash the shame away. Listen, I'd need to throw myself in the Clyde.
What a weekend.
But look, it was...
Do you not think it's 62 or whatever you are that the birthdays should be taken a bit slower?
Look, it was not.
I had a buggy for the golf. That's
is that his equivalent.
It was not planned, but Mark will tell you. You obviously don't associate yourself. You're a juice man. When you start when you start to meet good company and the people that are listening, really nice of you to come up and say hello and wish me happy birthday. And
the irony of it being, I've been with you. You're not good company. This is funny you say that. You know
terrific
what I mean?
Company. there are some good tunes getting played in that caravan site. So it was, look, I'm so glad it's no for another year.
So you're back.
I'm back. Good. I'm good. Ready to go.
Right, 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. Connor is going to kick things off. He's up in Knightswood. How are you, Connor?
Yeah, not bad. So what?
Yeah, not bad. So we're talking Scotland, perhaps. What are you thinking? I noticed Scott McKenna's out the squad today.
Obviously, Scott McKenna's put out the squad. I'd like to see Big Liam Lindy give him a chance, because I heard he's flying for president at the moment. And when he was up here, he was doing really well for Partick Thistle.
There used to be this thing. Liam Lindsay was like the Ryan Gold of his day. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like people used to say, why is he not? Why get him in squads? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just mean it had gone a bit quiet. Connor's right in the sense he's played 38 times for Preston this season, been a mainstay. Again, by all accounts, done pretty well. Are you surprised that with Grant Hanley and Scott McKenna coming out the squad, no replacement has been called up? But no, we had loads to begin with.
I think he's got a lot, and Tierney's going to play left centre back, you would imagine, as well. So
you've got Henry, you've got Portis. I think he's got enough cover there.
Liam Cooper.
And Suter's in great form. He was brilliant against Benfica at Ibrox.
So. And Liam Lindsay's just one of these unfortunate ones that he finds himself behind a large queue. I suppose a players who have fought their way in there, because you look at Portis. Now, was it last year? When did Portis make his debut?
What was that? Remember the Ukraine game where we were really down to the bare bones and had to go and get something, and he went and kept a clean sheet, and he rarely came out the team since.
That's it. I mean, that's how quickly it can transform for you. You know, you get put in the team in a game that, you know, you're never expected to be part of the squad. You do well, and Steve Clarke likes you. He's loyal to you. You keep performing, you're in the team. Now, there may come a time that Liam Lindsay's time comes and he does the exact same, but the guys that are in front of him, as I say, it's a long list who have previously
done. Having said that, if Steve Clarke felt the need to name X amount of defenders initially and then to pull out, would you not even expect one to go in as a replacement?
I think Steve Clarke will give as many opportunities as he possibly can. John Carver's already come out and says, look, there's still some places, I don't think there's a lot, to be honest with you, right? There's still a couple of places that somebody could just, you know, come as a late runner and get that place. So if to do that, I know that you've got to impress in training, but also you've got to be given an opportunity in the games to basically impress a manager to say, do you know what, I could just be that little diamond you're going to take with me.
Yeah, I mean, Connor, is that maybe it? Is it maybe because, with the best will in the world, even if a Liam Lindsay came in right now, or whoever else in that position, chances are that they're just not going to the Euros? Is that the harsh reality of it?
It maybe is, but I'll tell you one thing, because like, Liam played with Big Jack at Partick Thistle.
True.
And Liam was far better than Jack, and it just goes to show you how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Jack Hendry's another one that's gone in and he's done really well in that the end of that campaign. And I know then you could bring up the fact that he's maybe not playing in the most competitive domestic environment, but he's played the vast majority of the recent qualifiers and done very well, hasn't he?
Well, again, it's this thing with Steve Clarke. Now, he has changed the squad quite a bit over the years, but players who do well for him and are playing regular will more often not find their way into the squad. And I think that's the way it should be. You know, if they perform well on the international stage and gets to a level, which they have done, the finals of a tournament, then they deserve to be part of the squad. So, you know, comparisons between players, you know, Jack Henry's career took many turns along the way. Found himself, was it Belgium, and then playing the Champions League, and now in the Middle East. Yeah, not as competitive as probably the Championship, but he's done the job when he's in a Scotland shirt.
Remember the night we had Jack Hendry on the show after they played against Messi? Played against Messi.
He likes a little bit of
comedy week. Comedy week, he should be, you know, he should get a spot in the stand.
He was just very consistent in his message.
Yes.
There's nothing up with that.
I just thought he was going to give us a bit like, you know, it was great to play against Messi, but he just does his job. We believe we belong in that pitch. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's why he's at that level and we're stuck in here.
Listen, I'm all for that. Going back to your own ability, believing that that's better than fans here.
That wasn't what you were saying when he hung up the phone.
No, I said, well done, Jack. That was a good phone call. But I've got to say, see, when you think that in the Euros, if everybody's fit, that's going to be a real debate who that back three is going to be. You've got Tierney as a certainty if he's fit. Portis, is he that one that's the certainty at the right centre back? And then look at the talent you've got. Like, see, Suter's playing really well for Rangers.
I wonder.
Hanley, I think, is a very, very good player.
Do you think
Jack Henry?
Do you think Grant Hanley pulling out of the squad, Connor, if everybody's fit, do you think that maybe points towards somebody who won't make it? I think you get the impression Steve Clarke would want to take him, likes him, played at the last Euros, arguably Scotland's best player, or one of them, you know, likes his experience, but he's not been in squads recently because of injury. This was his chance to come back. He then pulls out again. I'm not criticising him for it, but just wonder if he's one of the ones to miss out what's the kind of strongest back line we've got?
I think the back four will be the back three will be Tierney, Hendry and Portis. That'll be the main three. But I would just, as I say, I'd like to see how the big Liam does in the friendlies, but obviously it's not looking good.
Yeah, I think when the squad was announced, we had this debate about, you know, I don't even know who the real realistic names that were coming up, but should someone be given a chance to try and force their way in? And it looked like the answer was no at that point. You've now got two players pulling out and still no replacement. So that tells you, doesn't it? Steve Clarke's not of a mind. He doesn't think it's possible, really, that somebody's just going to come from nowhere and swoop in last minute. It just doesn't. Even in the last campaign, remember Dominic Hayam of Blackburn? I mean, he played once, I think he came on. Was that Norway away? You know, there are centre backs out there that in theory would still be next in the pecking order.
Well, I think he's pretty comfortable with his squad, I think that's a good stage to be at. I remember, you know, years ago it seemed like there was just this, you know, stream of players that would come and go and no consistency. I think we're at a really good place just now with a manager who is comfortable with what he's got, who knows what he's got, and I don't really see there being much opportunity. Now, there was an argument, remember, 6 months ago, or probably even less than that, about Doak. You know, would you take Doak to the Euros because he's lighting up the 21s and he's getting a wee bit of game time for Liverpool? I don't even think that's a realistic possibility.
Well, injury's killed that, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, injury's killed, but I wonder if it still would. I think Steve Clarke has got his group, maybe needs to trim one or two, and that'll be hard decisions, like any manager tells you at Euros time. One of them will be a goalie, but the rest, you know, pretty much bang on certainties.
Who can benefit most from these friendlies, Connor? Is this Lawrence Shanklin's time to prove something? Is it Lewis Ferguson's? What are you hoping to take away from them?
You just need to go in there and try and get a victory as it is, but it'll be hard playing against the Netherlands because they'll be decent, but you just need to try and not get like beat by a lot of goals and just try and take confidence with it and then go and beat Northern Ireland during the week.
I think particularly if we're talking Lawrence Shankland and this, and by the way, I'm not saying Shea Adams and Lyndon Dykes are operating at a really, really high domestic level because they're not, but this would be the challenge in a nutshell. He's done brilliantly. All right, go up against Virgil van Dijk and see how you get on.
Do you know, I hope he doesn't get judged like that. I hope he's just given the opportunity because it's all about experience as well. We know the one thing about him is he's a terrific talent. He can score you goals. You're right, if he comes up against van Dijk, there's not many strikers in the world get the better of him because he's top class. So I hope that it's a case of getting experience of playing, you know, making sure that you're out there, you're showing what you're all about, because he has got a talent. I would hate him just to be judged on two friendlies, for instance. I don't think that's fair in any player, and that's why I think Steve Clarke's got this, you know, solid squad, and that's why he's not bringing people from the outside in. He's keeping everybody together.
Thanks, Connor. If you want to keep going on those themes, you can do on 0141 951 1025. If you'd like to switch focus, maybe talk about Paolo Bernardo's credentials at becoming a permanent Celtic player or something else, now's a perfect time to call.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. If you want to talk Scotland, you can. You want to talk Paolo Bernardo or any other domestic stories, rumours, reports, we are here for you. Something we've not mentioned at all that you've got on your mind, now's the time and place to share it. Get your calls in. How embarrassing was he in the office, by the way, before we came on?
Was if you calmed down a bit, I think you call it
absolute embarrassment.
I like the show as well.
I make no excuses. Gordon.
Two doors down. Gordon from Two Doors Down was in. And I like him myself. Funny
all
guy.
Over me, wasn't he?
But I've Gordon. Never seen him move so Gordon. Quickly. I love the show. I love your show. I've watched every episode. He looked at you like you were a psychopath.
You were all over him like a rash. You went up and got a picture. So this is, because I must admit, no offence to him. I'm sure he's wonderful at what he does. I've never seen Two Doors Down. I don't know. Anything about it. So Kieran Hodgson apparently is the actor who plays your namesake.
Yeah.
And you
didn't even know his name though. He was calling him Gordon.
Well, that's his character.
They must love.
You don't think about
you
it.
You don't call if Spider-Man walked around, Bill, Spider-Man, you wouldn't turn around and who does Spider-Man, by the way?
Various.
Right, you wouldn't say, oh, Brad Pitt, he doesn't
no,
do
no,
it.
No, he doesn't, no.
But you would say, Spider-Man, Batman.
Michael Keaton walked in. Batman.
Batman. What's happened?
I just Gordon.
It was the interaction of Gordon. Gordon.
I know. He put on the accent to speak to the guy who has got an English accent.
We spoke about your birthday, you know, a man of your age sort of jumping up and hanging off the poor guy's neck for a picture.
It was a good photo, wasn't it?
And then you were trying to give, you were trying to do all that bravado of, Gordon DL, you've probably heard of me. And
I did not say that.
You did say that. And he certainly hadn't heard of you. That,
and he just looked at you.
Didn't he look the football type?
Blank.
It was actually, I thought he was quite impressed with getting the photo.
No, he looked scared, quite frankly.
Shell shocked. Yeah.
What I was a bit concerned about was the two people that entered the building after it. But
I took a picture of you getting the picture and put it on my Instagram. I sort of behind the scenes.
You are just the worst person in the world to probably, you know, do something when you're about.
Well, hold on. Wait a second. You were asking a guy for a picture, and you've got an issue with me taking a picture of that.
Yeah, but there's
a
difference.
Does
that
sound strange to
you?
I was
excited.
You love that. You actually love seeing somebody famous and asking for a picture.
I know, that makes
Remember the girl who was in here for the Gogglebox? Right. And he was hanging about inside the studio. Can I get a photo? And you said to us, what's her name?
My best one was the Murray.
Jamie Murray.
Big Jamie was a great lad.
I was seeing here.
Yeah, him and Andy used to fight over my sticker. And it was him that actually says to me, if you don't mind, before you run out, any chance of getting a photo? I says, Jamie, not a problem.
Not true. 01419511025. Let's bring in Mark, who's on the line. How are you, Mark?
I'm very well, thanks. Yourselves, guys?
Yeah, not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
In my opinion, I'm a Celtic supporter, right? And in my opinion, Neil Lennon lost Celtic a historic 10 in a row because of the Boys Club Act. I wouldn't like to think that can happen to Scotland. So I really hope our manager picks the best players that he has available. We've got some quality players out there. I didn't actually know the young man out in Bologna was the captain. I didn't realise how many big clubs were looking at him. Mm-hmm. So we've got maybe half a dozen players that might not actually make it on the plane. Who, if he sticks to the Boys Club Act, they should be on the plane. So,
what do you mean that the Boys Club Act, though, Mark? He's not sticking by bad players because he likes them, or sticking by players that's let them down. If Steve Clarke decides to stick by MD, it will be because they've got Scotland there. So, if Lewis Ferguson doesn't play, as an example, it's because John McGinn and Scott McTominay will. I don't think there's any shame in sticking by them, is there?
No, it's not about. It's sticking by them. Okay, the players I've got is there. But if we've got better players coming along behind them, surely you've got to take them out. It's great, guys. You have done a job. You have got us there. We're proud of you. You'll be remembered. But we need to move on.
Ah, but that's my point. Who's better than John McGinn and Scott McTominay? I don't really I get the logic, but...
There's 11 players on the park. I'm not just talking about those two players. I'm not talking about any particular player. I'm talking about the whole team.
You would need to leave out one of the midfield players, right? And if you look at the two, the way we play, McTominay and McGinn have been absolutely brilliant. You've got Callum McGregor, Celtic captain, he's a terrific player, been brilliant, and Billy Gilmour. So your argument, if you're a manager, and I know what Mark's saying, listen, I'm desperate to see Lewis Ferguson, right? I'm desperate to see Shanklin. I think they will be in the squad. But if we were playing Germany tomorrow, I don't think they'd be in the starting 11.
It just all feels a bit like, see, when we're in a sort of bad place, if you like, our results haven't been going well, or you're looking for things to improve. I absolutely understand the logic of Mark's point. You should always look at what's in reserve. Is it better than what you've got? But it's almost like we've all just forgotten that Scotland have just scooshed into this Euros in brilliant fashion. What's the big glamour to look for other players? I don't really get where it comes from.
That's how international football is the peak of football. You know, because you're coming up against, you might be tearing it up every week for your club. You might be captain abroad, but you are battling with a player in your position who is playing in the Premier League in England and the best league in the world and doing well in that league as well. So that's why you have to be at your peak and ready and hoping for an opportunity. So if you're Lewis Ferguson just now, all you can do is keep doing what you're doing. And if McGinn or McTominay or McGregor, like McGregor's injured just now, is out the team, you have to grasp your opportunity when you're in there. Now, if he gets picked against the Netherlands tomorrow and has an absolute outstanding game, no doubt about it, Steve Clarke will be thinking, well, Cal McGregor's done well, no doubt about it. However, I liked what I've seen from Ferguson, and he puts himself right in the frame. But what we really want to do is just pick Ferguson and put him in somewhere else in the team. Square pegs and round holes will not work at all. I know we've done it with Tierney, but Tierney's an exceptional player, and it works because the dynamic, Aaron Robertson. To do that with Ferguson and just fit him in somewhere alongside McTominay, McGinn, McGregor, Gilmore, I think you're pushing it then.
I get the point, Mark, but you say you're not talking about any specific players, but do we have any in reserve that are definitely better and definitely need to oust the ones that have been playing?
100%. The Strouter from Hearts. He's got to be on the plane. The hunger and fire that man's shown this season and the goals he's scoring, I would love to see him lead the line for Scotland. Like you just said, we're there. Doesn't matter how we got there, we're there. So let's take the best players we have and let's put on a show. Let's see what we can do. But we can only put on a show if we've got the best players. And if the best players are the ones that have been the mainstay and they go there and put on a show, listen, I'm there. But that's all I want. I want my country to take the best players and give us a show. That's all I want.
I don't think there's any doubt in that. I don't know what Mark's putting up the argument. I think Steve Clarke will take the best players. I totally agree with him. I think Lauren Shanklin has been terrific. Right, if everybody's fit and everybody's ready to go in Germany, is Lauren Shanklin going to start? Probably not. Lewis Ferguson start? Probably not. But I think he'll definitely be in there.
Why not Lauren Shanklin? I think that's Mark's point, and a lot of people will agree. It is a really, really good debate because you are...
Yeah, because you've got Adams, you've got Dykes.
And you can't ignore what happened to get here. You can't ignore that body of work. Months and months and months built around a system that uses Shea Adams, Lyndon Dykes to do what they can do, but also to get the best out of Scott McTominay and get the best out of John McGinn and allow them to score goals that maybe the strikers don't always do. Do you rip that up to play a guy who is definitely your best chance taker, and many people would say,
no.
Yeah, you do. So you can see both sides of that.
But not for me, because I think you make a great point. I think we're where we are because, and we're excited because we're not an individual. We're a team, and that team's got to be a jigsaw where you're talking about, right? See that centre forward. That centre forward comes so important to McGinn, McTominay. Yep. Players like that, and people have got to understand that. Look, I'm Shanklin's biggest fan. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. He'll definitely be on the plane, but I think Steve Clarke's got his first starting 11 if everybody's fit. You look at, we were talking about it earlier, centre back position has got to be really difficult because you can make a case for a lot of the centre backs. You said it, the last Euros, Hanley, I thought was terrific. He's injured, I know that. Suter was. To me, well, somebody come on told me man of match against Benfica, playing really well at club football. Henry is a terrific player as well. You get Portis, you get Tierney, so and Cooper. We've got an abundance of good players. They'll all be on the plane. The biggest thing that Steve Clarke will have to get right is picking the best 11 for that starting game.
Thanks very much to Mark on 01419511025. Tam is in Stonehouse. How's it going, Tam?
Hi guys, thanks for having us on.
Pleasure. What have you got for us tonight?
Just a thought, guys. For me, I would have McTominay up front. I would have a front three up front. Shankland in the middle, McTominay off the right, and Dykes in the left. The three of them would be some handful up front for anybody. And then we've got a great midfield of McGinn, Ferguson and McGregor as well. I know Steve Clarke's very unlikely to play any more than one up front, but can you think of a handful of Dykes, Shankland and McTominay up front for anybody? It'd be a serious thing for defenders to contend with.
That's why you're not the Scotland manager, Tam. I've got to say. I've got to say, man. That's a game of championship manager right there. Yeah. Or FIFA. You've just stuck three guys up front and thought, let's see what happens here. I think it was a wee bit
of fear in fairness to you.
I think it was a wee bit.
I like it, Tam. Tam, I like it. Don't listen to this guy.
McTominay's a machine.
Oh, he is. He is. But, I mean.
He's a machine. We need him up the top of the park. Shankland is a goal scoring machine. So I don't see what the problem is, Mark.
I think the machine. I think a machine would break down, Tam, if you put all the machines up the top end of the pitch. It'd be great if it worked like that.
On a more serious note, Tam, though, so you're dropping Billy Gilmour, though, then, yeah?
Billy Gilmour's had one goal in his whole career. I can't see why.
Oh, it's not, he's there.
He's going for
machines.
Machine goals.
MD scores is in Tam's team.
I don't think Billy Gilmour's in there to score goals, to be honest. It feels like.
But in all seriousness, you need a balance to the team. And I think you made a good point with the striker and the goals McTominay's getting. Where's he getting them from? Where's McGinn got his goals from? Which system are they flourishing in? And who sits behind them to enable them to do that? So. It's like Das said there, it's a jigsaw. You need the right pieces in the right places. And I'm afraid if Steve Clarke just has to throw, you know, everybody up front and drop others because they're not scoring, then I think would be maybe a bit easier to play against.
The thing is, it might be that Steve Clarke picks Lauren Shankland, and that's fine. I think everybody will be happy. It just feels like the mindset has shifted a bit because we're also impressed by what he's doing. We're talking as if Scotland have got a major problem arriving in this when we don't really, like, you can always look to be better, and I get that, but it's been a journey, it's been a trajectory. If you're Steve Clarke, you're going to have various things coming through your head. You might say, right, who's banging form just now? Or you might say, okay, how good were we against Spain? How good were we against whoever? I want to try and replicate that, and there would be no shame in that.
No, not at all. I think the only person who's got a problem is the manager, because he's got four very good goalkeepers, first and foremost. He's got to let one of them down. He's got so many centre-halves that have been excellent for Scotland. He's got Shankland that's banging form. He's got Dykes that's been very good. Adams that's been good. So he's got so many players there that he's got a headache of who he's got to pick. But it'll depend also, and this is what we're not getting. Steve Clarke will be doing his homework non-stop in Germany. Where their weaknesses are, what sort of game to play against them. Like, say, we talk about in the modern, is that a high press, low press? Is it counter-attack? Is it balls up for McTominay and McGinn to go and feed off of Dykes, for instance? Or is it Shea Adams up there to go and make the move into centre-halves and make these runs to take defenders away? So everything in that modern day game with Steve Clarke will come under scrutiny, and that's when, if he's got everybody fit, I'll be interested to see what his lineup is.
You still think, Tam, there's another step we can take? You think it would be better with, you know, getting Shankland and Dykes in a team, for example?
4-3-3 seems to be a kind of modern formation, doesn't it? We could have, for me, I would have Robertson in one wing and Tierney in the other wing, Suter and Porteous in the back, and have the three midfielders just sitting a wee bit more. That would be, for me, attacking formation. Three big machines up front, let's go for it.
The big machines. I love it. I love the image.
He loves a machine. By the way, the pitch is big. You could get probably an arm machine up there and go with a four.
Robot got Wars.
Three up there with the wingers. Just big machines up there. Who's creating for you, Tam? Who's...
Well, it's the three midfielders sitting behind them, the ones making.
I thought they were sitting deep.
Aye, but they're more than capable of.
Who's putting in the crosses for the three machines?
Oh, Andy Robertson will do that.
Tierney in one wing, Robertson. This man's thought this out. Tam,
is Tierney swinging it into his right foot? No.
Right, we'll leave it there. We'll agree to disagree.
Listen, can you play Beat the Pundit, Leah?
Thanks very much to Tam in Stonehouse. Keep your calls coming in whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One. Celebrating the first 50 years.
Have you got your tickets for Clyde One Live yet? Hopefully the answer is yes, but fear not. If it's a no, we can hook you up for the last 50 years. Clyde One's brought you some of the best and most memorable live gigs. We're going to do it all over again as part of our 50th birthday celebrations. We're taking over the Oval Hydro Friday, the 31st of May. Get that in the diary. We want you to be there. The first three acts, Amy McDonald, Callum Beattie and Emily Sandy, and we're going to announce the final two acts joining them on the bill next Wednesday on Bowie at Breakfast. If you want to secure your place before the tickets sell out, go to Clyde1.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are in the building. You can get in touch on that usual number. If you'd rather tweet at Clyde SSB, you can. Please do, but we much prefer to speak to you on the phones. Although during the break, I did have a quick look at Instagram and lots of good feedback from you.
My two doors down.
Meeting your hero from two doors down. Yeah, there's Simon McLeod actually reckons you should be on that show. Reckons you'd be an
you
asset.
Would fit right in.
Oh, big Kathy.
Who's your favourite?
Oh, Kathy.
Kathy.
Oh,
Kathy.
I love Kathy. Yeah. Oh, I think she's got great patter.
So, yeah, loads of people replying to your picture actually that I've said. What was his name again?
Kieran.
Gordon from Two Doors Down.
Gordon.
And he was in the office and you were.
That's Gabs, isn't it?
You were.
Gabs does the voiceover. Listen, I could not believe.
Who's the most famous person you've ever met then? Because that was.
Him?
That was a really, really over the top reaction. With no disrespect to him, I'm sure he's a master of his craft, but you acted as if that was like.
Well, I met like, Puskas and George Best, didn't I? And I was with him in Australia. He does not believe the story.
From another
Puskas.
So you'd say that's
area.
The most famous person you've met? That's a good shout.
Football, right, outside football. Ooh, yeah. I don't know. I've met a lot of
Sydney
famous
Sydney Devine.
Oh, I love Sydney. See, that day I walked into the dressing room, Sydney was sitting in his cowboy outfit. No, he was sitting in his cowboy outfit singing 10 guitars. That will live with me in my memory for a long time. I think he was a right-handed guitarist. I'm not too sure.
He could have went that way.
I'm not.
Do you know what will live with me forever?
The
thing that will live with me forever is the way that you consistently pronounce the stringed instrument like the Middle Eastern country.
Country. And yet when he's talking about the country,
it begins with a G.
It's been a long week.
Who's the most famous person you've met? Not the guy from Two Doors Down.
Mel Gibson.
But you paid.
You paid. That was a meeting.
I didn't pay. I just got told Mel wants a photo with you. So,
no.
I don't know. Well, I was cutting about Rod Stewart's house. He's pretty famous, isn't he?
Aye, that'll do. That's fine. Now, you went to his house, didn't you?
Aye, jumped in his Ferrari and that. It's good. It's all right.
Hard to grumble.
Told you to watch The Black Swan.
Now he spends his Thursday night with you.
But if you're going singers, I was in Joe Longthorne's car.
Nah, that's not the same. Speaking of Joe,
it's at the weekend.
We've got Joe and Carntine on the line. How are you, Joe?
I'm fine, mate. How are you doing, guys?
Good. All good. What's your point tonight?
Well, I was going on about the strikers.
But
taking them out of the Europa thing. But you sort of distracted me there by your last conversation.
Sorry.
Talking about weapons you've met. And
who's the most famous person you've met, Joe?
I think Billy McNeil is going out.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout. I'm not going to grumble with that.
Sign me, Joe. Sign me so he is famous.
Where did you meet him, Joe?
His house.
Brilliant.
And to get into detail. Anyway, it was relating to obviously the stories we're talking about players going out of the Euros. And I think you've got to play players on form. A Celtic fan, if it was a Celtic player that was banging on all the goals, I would say for him, or if it was Rangers. But it's a Hearts player, and it's Lawrence Jankland. And we can all see the type of goals he's been scoring the past season or two. Nobody Scotland national team. Steve Clarke is quite. What's the word I'm looking for? When it comes to players that's done them well, we stand by them, sort of a thing, right? Which is fair enough. I agree with that. See, the strike force with Fidger the past 2, 3, 4 years.
Yep.
The Adams never ever rated them. And they've never scored a goal amount to me which merits a striker for Scotland. When you consider the past year or two, where their goals have been coming for the midfield, it's the likes of McGinn, Scott McTominay, and Ryan Christie previously. And knowing that might work into the way Steve Clarke wants to work his team, to me, a striker be there for scoring goals, and I've never ever rated the two at the top for Scotland. None of them are Scottish either.
I think
they are by football nationality.
Yeah.
I know there's another debate there, but
we'll go over all ground here. We all agree that Shanklin has been terrific, right? We'll all agree on that. But I think Dykes, you talk about the impact McTominay and especially McGinn have had in the international team. And I think that London Dykes plays a big, big part in that, right? I think he is. I think he's a good target man. I don't think he's the greatest club player I've ever seen in my life, right? He might not be pulling up trees and scoring and banging goals week in, week out. But international football is probably a lot different to club football. And I think you need everything to work together, and that's why we're so successful.
Any team needs to be, you know, more than the sum of your parts. That's the idea, isn't it?
Look at the balance we've got on the left hand side with Tierney and Robertson. Everybody worried about how do we get probably our two best players in at that time, right? Steve Clarke's found a way to that. How do we get to Europe? How do we win games? How do we come up against top opposition, cause problems and win games? It's not just saying, well, Lauren Shanklin's banging goals in left, right and centre for Hearts, so he'll play. Because the rest of the jigsaw, and I'm not saying it will, but the rest of the jigsaw could fall apart because Dykes is such a big part of that.
Because both of them will chase balls into channels and rough up centre-backs and that sort of thing. Yeah. And it's not to say Lauren Shanklin can't, but it's just different, isn't it?
I think, and Mark will give his opinion, I think Lauren Shanklin in the summer, in the Euros, will be a great impact player for us, right? I really do. I think he'll be a terrific impact player for us. I just think that Steve Clarke sees the squad, sees the way they play. They've got a pattern of play now that suits everybody. It gets results. I know the friendlies, you can look and say, well, we've no one for a few games. But when the big games come up, and remember, we had some real big games, they perform to that system, and I think that's what Steve Clarke will go with.
I just wonder, I know you said Shanklin doesn't do that, and he probably doesn't for club.
No, that was the thing. I wasn't trying to say that he doesn't. It was just be open to the possibility that any player, Steve Clarke might want them to do a specific job, and I totally get it, because when it comes to strikers, people say, what job could be more important than scoring goals?
But I just wonder, you know, we've got, I think, well, me in my head, I've got Shanklin pigeonholed as a goal scorer and a good one at that. Dykes, I've got him, my thought, what Daz described there, he holds the ball up, he runs into channels, he makes life difficult. Adams gives you a wee bit of both. I wonder if Shanklin could do the job, but we're never going to find out unless we play him. Now, that's why these build-up games are key, because maybe he plays, and by the way, maybe he brings in McTominay and McGinn just as much, as well as adding that predatory instinct within the box. So that's why these friendlies are set up,
so you think
to get the best.
He needs a good crack at it, these two friendlies.
I think that's fair. And you're spot on earlier on when you're putting him up against Virgil van Dijk. If he starts, that's incredibly difficult. Got to be realistic. He's got to have a bit of time. Shows what he can do. It was at Georgia he comes on, gets equaliser, makes an instant impact. So that backs up your point. But I just wonder, if you don't give them the opportunity, you never know if it's better than what you've got.
Great headache to have, you've got to say, right? Because there's great debates going on. Probably you're looking at maybe four or five players that are stick-ons, but the rest, you're looking at our defenders, you're looking at our goalkeeping situation, you're looking at our forward. So we're in a nice place. It's a good headache to have.
I just wonder if we need to acknowledge more that these blanket statements about you must pick your players in form, or you must pick players that are playing. Blanket statements rarely work. For some players, they might need to be playing week in, week out. They might need to be doing good things. But just look, 1 year ago, I'm going to play it back, you can find the podcast, it's unbelievable to look back on. 1 year ago this international break, I remember the night we were inundated with calls to say that Scott McTominay and Kieran Tierney shouldn't play because they weren't playing for their club. Scott McTominay went on to score 5 goals in his next 4 Scotland games, and Kieran Tierney did what he did against Spain to set one of them up. It's just not that simple to say pick the players in form. It's a phrase that people have lumped on to international football since time began. It doesn't apply to everybody.
I only describe us as a very good unit, and I think Steve Clarke knows the right players to work that unit.
I've never heard you.
I always say it sounded good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, I'm not dismissing anybody talking about Shanklin play, scoring goals. Lewis Ferguson has been absolutely brilliant, but we have got good players in good positions, And it's whoever Steve Clarke feels that is the right part to fill that jigsaw in that's going to play. And I don't think Shanklin, right? And I'm all for him to get his couple of games. But I think Lawrence Shanklin could be so important for us, because I think substitutions in the Euros has got to be so important. And if, for instance, if he doesn't get picked and we're sitting there 0-0 or 1-0 or whatever and we need a goal,
he's the man to take the chance.
Yeah, that's for me, yeah.
Thank you very much to Joe. It's a good debate, certainly. And let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. What have you got in your locker? Have you got enough to tackle Mark Wilson or Gordon Dalziel? Now is the time to find out. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. 0141 951 1025. We'd love for you to join in. The first hour has been dominated really by talk of Scotland friendlies coming up this weekend, but who should play and who shouldn't play, and then looking ahead to the Euros and who needs a chance in these friendlies and all that sort of stuff. So if you want to wade in, and we'd love you to, pick up that phone. If you want to move on entirely, now seems like a perfect time to do so. What about you, Celtic fans, as an example? A few, maybe it's just rumours, reports at this stage starting to swirl about Paulo Bernardo and whether Celtic would look to make that a permanent deal or not. What would your thoughts be? Would you go for that? Is it price dependent? What would that price look like for you? Get in touch on the usual number or on Twitter as we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. How's the form?
Brilliant.
Remind Good. Me.
Did you hear about my victory on Tuesday? Obviously, you were absent.
I was. Did you win on Tuesday?
I beat one of Mark's ex-players, his goalkeeper, Lewis, and his friend.
From Brecon.
Yeah. To be fair,
Brecon goalie must have been a busy guy.
Now you think about it. How many people have beat him in his career?
He did score a goal for us once. He was our joint top goal scorer.
So he did.
We
That's
won.
Fair corner kick, was it?
No, he scored his box.
Right, forgot about that. Aye.
Have you not seen who's the goalie? What team was it again? Look, before we came on, I saw Keith. Did you see last night?
Keith the goalie?
No, the team Keith.
Oh, right.
Highland League. No. So they are on a bit of a recent unbeaten run in the league, and the goalie came up in stoppage time and scored a sort of acrobatic. I'm not going full like bicycle kick. It's not quite. Yeah. It's more of like a fall with style. But good. Nevertheless,
love a goalie scoring. Yeah.
Take that, don't you?
Yeah.
Lewis
done a good job.
I like it for a corner, but I think it's a bit amateur. If he punts up the park, the goalkeeper comes out.
I get bad news for you though. Jim Duffy won last night, which actually moves you down the table.
How can it move me down the table?
Because it moves him up the table. Are you unfamiliar with how leagues work?
Did my win on Tuesday not move me up the table
again?
Yes, but
Jim's win moved him to 59%.
I'm well by 59.
You're second bottom now of the table.
No,
I promise you are.
How many?
Second bottom.
I've got over 100 caps at this.
Charlie Mulgrew's bottom, you're second bottom.
Nah, can't it be?
It's a bad double act.
But you think about it, right? I was thinking about this today. See, how many years has this been going? 3, 4?
12 probably, I don't know.
No way. Well, you think of
it. How can it be? Only, I know you've got a bad memory. You think Beat the Pundit's only been on for 3 years?
Maybe 4.
Well, I've hosted this show for 7 and it was going well before
right,
that.
Right, so I've got at least, 300-400 appearances.
So
my average is always going to get him down. Duff comes in, plays one game every 3 months. He's the same.
Can only win what's in front
plays.
Of you.
I'm here every week.
But I play on Tuesday, another victory, and I'm dropping down the table.
Kevin is in Bishop Briggs. You've not even started, Kevin. I think you've got him exactly where you want him. I think his head's all over the place tonight. You fancy your chances?
I fancy my chances.
Have you ever played before?
Either or. Listen to your game. Either or, I like that.
You ever played before?
Never, no, first time.
You sound a bit nervous.
Aye, sounds a bag in airs, Kev.
I think so.
Aye. Oh, why?
Oh, Kevin, what about the roadworks in Bishop Briggs, by the way? I see you from Bishop Briggs.
A nightmare.
Oh, horrendous.
Right. Weirdly, right, I don't spend any time ever in Bishop Briggs, but I did the other day.
How bad?
I got stuck in that.
Oh, I was stressing out the other day because what they've done is positioned, you know, small traffic lights beside the normal traffic lights, so it just causes
all right,
a
Stephen
big...
Stephen Mill. Move on.
That was Mark Wilson.
And by
the
way, Stephen Mill is hopeless at telling you anything about it. Oh, there's traffic in Bishop Briggs, and then just moves on to the next place.
Is that the way I get caught in the roadworks?
I don't know.
Friday?
I don't know. When did you get caught on Friday?
I was out your way.
Oh no, that's something in your head. That's another way.
Okay. Why are we talking about roadworks? Like, what's happened to the show?
Kev's through Bishop Briggs. He must have to go
would
through
you hear the weather
toss
report?
The coin. Heads, it will be Martin Wilson. And tails, it will be Gordon DL. Let's see what we get. And it is heads. You two can argue about the roadworks.
Who is it, me?
No.
Yes. Yeah, all right. Okay, good luck, Kevin.
Likewise. Good luck.
Right, let's give Mark some greatest hits radio to listen to. And that way Kevin can't hear what's going on. We'll do 30 seconds, Kevin. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Okay, your time starts now. Who did Hearts sign Craig Halkett from?
Livingston.
Which Rangers player has the most red cards this century?
Manelis.
How many Scottish Championship team names begin with a D?
Two.
Which Scottish Premiership side is the furthest north?
Aberdeen.
Who does Danny Wilson currently play for?
Bath.
Jim Duffy, Barry Ferguson and Colin Hendry have all managed which club?
Bath.
Which colour has Daisen Maeda dyed his hair?
Blonde.
What a question that is, my goodness. Right, let's bring Mark Wilson back.
They were quite good tonight.
Yeah.
And good, like easy or difficult?
I think he'll squish us.
Think so?
Yeah,
okay.
I think he will, yeah.
We'll give it a good crack.
I've just got a bit of an issue that I'll just front up about, because some of these questions, you know, obviously we get like 10 questions written down. We'll usually only get through like 7. On Monday, I remember going through the excess questions with Andy Halliday, but I can't remember if it was on air or off air. So there's every chance that I've now repeated to the nation questions that I read out on Monday. I just can't remember if I did it at the break.
Kev, were you listening on Monday?
I wasn't listening Monday.
I genuinely can't remember.
Don't worry, that sounds suspicious.
Anyway, you'll win this if you get the first one.
That's already knocked me off a bit.
I think you're up against it.
No, he's not.
Right, okay.
Traffic light man.
Yeah.
Is flying. You ready?
It's a bad superhero.
Or superhero,
right,
whatever. Your time starts now. Who did Hearts sign Craig Halkett from?
Livy.
Which Rangers player has the most red cards this century?
Oh, pass.
How many Scottish Championship team names begin with a D?
One.
Which Scottish Premiership side is furthest north?
Aberdeen.
Who does Danny Wilson currently play for?
Queen's Park.
Jim Duffy, Barry Ferguson and Colin Hendry have all managed which club?
Clyde.
What colours Daisen Maeda dyed his hair?
Blonde.
Who's the current manager of the Netherlands?
Ronald Koeman.
It's tight.
Good game.
Ross County.
I did forget about the firm.
Kevin, what do you think?
I think he's maybe got as we won.
Oh wow. Right, let's go through them. That was a good game, I have to say. Who did Hearts sign Craig Halkett from? It's Livingston. You both got it. Which Rangers player has the most red cards this century? Alfredo Morelos.
Oh.
And
yeah, that should have been obvious.
Kevin got it.
Did he? Well done, Kev.
2-1 to Kevin. How many Championship team names begin with a D? Dundee United and Dunfermline. 3-1 Kevin.
Oh, Kevin, you know your D's.
Kevin, that's plenty. Both of you said Aberdeen.
It was Ross County.
Yeah, come on. Still Kevin
up there
in
last
the lead.
Week.
Maybe a bit of a comeback though, because Danny Wilson plays for Queen's Park.
Kevin, so got
3-2.
Mark Wilson pulls back in the running. Jim Duffy, Barry Ferguson, Colin Hendry. It's Clyde. That's Mark Wilson equalised.
Back in it.
I didn't get that one.
Did you not?
No,
I did.
Daisen Maeda's dyed his hair blonde. You both got it.
Oh, 4-4.
I have to say, don't give me questions like that, because someone is going to sweep in and say, actually, I think you'll find that is that's a shade known as blah. Give me hard facts here. One more question.
Who got it? Well, Mark.
Who's the manager of the Netherlands?
Oh, Ronald Koeman.
It's Ronald Koeman. You've done it.
Kev, no, get there.
I didn't.
Yes, Kev.
Kevin, I can't believe it. You started so brightly.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, you get good travel.
I certainly done that, though.
Who knew that Mark Wilson's pace would get him?
Well, you know, I've, have outpaced the best of them. Ronaldo,
no,
Ronaldinho,
no,
Messi,
no.
And Kevin Bishop Briggs.
You should have tucked Kev away.
I did. I'm a slow starter, but a powerful finisher.
That's quite fat. It's
not a bad reputation to have, let me tell you, in the modern day world.
Kevin, you're a Celtic fan. Are you into international football, or are you just counting down the days till the title race starts up again?
I know, obviously it can be a slow couple of weeks, but I'll be watching the Scotland game, so I'll and then looking forward to getting back watching Celtic. So.
And weirdly, you don't actually have, you know, sometimes there's that real anxiety of will your players get injured. Remember there was a spell where there was loads of Celtic players in the Scotland starting 11, and Christie left and Armstrong left and Griffiths and all the rest of it and Craig Gordon, and now the absolute mainstay is Callum McGregor, but of course for a rare time he's not in it this time either, so maybe a bit of game to Greg Taylor, Anthony Ralston. You'd have to imagine the left backs sort of sewn up if they're both fit.
I don't think either of them will see any real game time, if I'm honest.
To be fair, Anthony, there's no Aaron Hickey, so is Nathan Patterson going to play 180 minutes?
I still don't think Ralston will get a lot of minutes. So, look, if you're Brendan Rodgers, he's probably pretty pleased with that. I think teams do look at this period and think, what are they getting back from the international duty? How fresh are their players? Because the running from next week until the end of the season is huge.
Well, Cameron Carter-Vickers stayed back, didn't he?
No surprise at
that.
The
aforementioned blonde-haired Daizen Maeda.
He can play about 100 games a season.
He's in North Korea. No, so they played against North Korea. And I saw people pointing out on Twitter, like, there can't be many people go from North Korea to Livingston in the space of a few days.
Especially jogging.
It'd be quite the
sprint.
Quite the journey.
That's a trip, that. Culturally, North Korea.
A bit different, or I don't know, maybe not.
I don't know.
I must admit, I got a lot tonight. When did he dye his hair blonde? Didn't know that.
You're not aware of this?
No,
yeah, he's gone.
That's why he was growing it. Remember, there was a cryptic message. All will be revealed in a couple of weeks.
We were supposed to do a hair related stunt with you on the show tonight.
That's sitting out there.
But we need, there's something else we need.
Yeah, well, let's just keep that.
You need something else to pour in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let's keep
it. Will we do it next week?
Next Thursday, yeah. It's a boring week. Let's see. Do you know, I'm really desperate for the feedback in this, because I think this could be life changing for me.
Life changing?
Yeah.
It's quite high bar. Anyway, thank you very much, Kevin. I think you did enough. We'll have you back for a second go.
Kevin Bishop Briggs, that where Two Doors Down is filmed on the Two Doors Down theme.
Is if it? It's Kev's house, I'm right up there.
Are you aware of this, Kevin? Local knowledge?
Aye, it's filmed in Bishop Briggs.
There you go. It's all tying in nicely tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't know where that's got to do with it.
Me neither. Right, thank you very much again to Kevin on 01419511025. I can still see people calling and tweeting so on about Scotland, which is very much welcomed. We can keep them coming in. Let's shift focus a little bit, because there's not loads doing the rounds with the club side of things today. I did say it's almost like a rumour, a report, a suggestion starting to circle about whether Paolo Bernardo would become a permanent. You okay?
Sorry, I think I've caught my cough.
What's up with you two tonight?
Apologies. Let's bring in Frankie.
Some strepsils.
Frankie and Lanark. How do you feel about Paolo Bernardo and whether Celtic should make him a permanent signing or not? I know there's time to go in the season, Frankie, but how does it stand at the moment?
Well, good evening, lads.
Hello.
And I say lads, Ray. Gordon there, been 62.
Right, okay, Frankie, I think we can just leave that there.
I'm just a month older than you, mate.
A month older?
Oh, we're in good company. A similar age. I'd imagine you're a bit more mature, Frankie. This guy's got the...
Well,
Frankie, do you remember me?
I used to bump into you at the old DL. I was at Mullow. You were playing for Rangers.
I didn't really mean that. It was the song. I was just trying to come out, Frankie. So you actually know me?
No, I don't know you at all.
Just bumped into you back in the day.
You just got two against Celtic, you didn't know, remember the LDL club in Mullow, I didn't go in the days, Frankie.
As a professional.
Frankie, nobody believes that, do they? Anyway, what are you thinking tonight, Paolo Bernardo?
Aye, when I heard the rumour, because I was talking to my son about it the other week there, they're very similar when you're playing, they make the same ones, sometimes you can actually, I'm not sure what one's what,
And I think Bernardo will be a positive signing. But unfortunately, on the flip side of that, it's going to be cause a negative, because I think Matt O'Reilly will go. And if Celtic's going to be buying Bernardo, I think that's a straight replacement. Plus, on another positive side, I think it'll see young Daniel Clark get a bit of time. I think it's, there's only a couple of years between the two of them. He's a young, good player, got a lot of technique, and if Rodgers is going to be staying, he'll want them shaped around about the way he plays.
Thoughts, guys. So, Frankie, you think it would be worth, you'd pay the money for Bernardo? Again, it's at the early stages, this. Some of the reports coming out today were talking about, I think, round about six, 7 million. And whether Celtic can look to negotiate that or not, I'm not entirely sure at this point. But you'd outlay that amount on him.
Aye, easy. Aye, he's a good player. He can score goals. He's got a good engine. He's got great technique. All right, he's still having to come to terms. But you've got to remember where he's came from. I mean, Jota when he first came, he was great. But he also had games where it wasn't always working, and he just excelled the second season. And we know how that ended.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think?
My feeling is with Bernardo that I think he's got 25 appearances under his belt so far this season, and I can only really think about 5 or 6 that he looked worthy of staying on. And it was all in about the same period, game away at Dens Park, Rangers game, I think it was one St Mirren game, he was pretty good as well, and then there was a couple others. And that's not, you know, that's not a lot of games that you're showing that your bar's that high that you spend 6 or 7 million. Now, Frankie brought up Jota, and Carter Vickers was in around that time where those were season-long loans that proved it was worthwhile spending that amount of money, because you saw it every week. And I guess that's the purpose of having season-long loans, to see if it's worth the money. And I don't know if you've seen it all season. I get that people are saying, oh, he's still young and he's still to develop, but this season was to judge that. Now, what if he doesn't quite develop, or next season's the same? Is he still young again? And then he gets another season. So I think you need to be careful with that one. He scored 3 goals, 4 goals, maybe. And yes, I get he does look nice in the eye sometimes. He's very much a Brendan Rodgers style player. Technically looks okay. I don't know. He just, you know, no real consistency. And I think that's why he's found himself in and out the team as well. When he got in the team, you thought, right, that's him. Run about that Christmas period, that's him. He's really got it now. He's playing well and he'll continue. But it's not quite. He's found himself in and out again.
Has Mark been harsh, Frankie? You sound more of a fan of Bernardo than he does.
I get what Mark says. I totally agree with some of his points. But I just think this, if you think when he was playing well, when he was scoring goals, he was getting a game time, Celtic were playing decent. See, he struggles when the team don't play well. Right? So he's not one of the characters that's just going to, you know, he's at it. He's not going to be. He's one of the ones. He's one of the players that every team carries time to time. And everyone's gone great. He's a good player. He's a contributor. But Celtic's lacked that in midfield this season all over.
Yeah, what do you think, Gordon? Because I get Mark's comparison about Carter Vickers and Jota, but they were then no-brainers. Really, just because Bernardo falls below that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not something you would do. You know, they set the bar pretty high in terms of loans that became permanent.
I take on board Mark's argument. Very hard to argue against. I think he's got something going.
To go now on that type of money.
I think if you're Brendan Rodgers, you're watching him day in, day out. We always talk about it on the show that, look, the manager works with this guy there. He will notice if there's enough progress there. Yes, he's got to take that on to a game day. Of course he has. And there's good competition in Celtic's Midley Park. But when he's one of these guys, when he's good, you think, oh, he could be a top player. No doubt in that. I think that another season here, another pre-season, Brendan Rodgers, it'll be new players that'll probably come in the summer as well. I think he would be worth the gamble of saying, right, okay, we're prepared to take this lad. Because technical ability, he has got very good ability, there's no doubt in that. you've just got to fit them in. We talk about tonight about the Scotland team, about all the individuals and whatever. Even at club football, you've got to knit it into a team, how everybody works off each other, their different roles, especially in the middle of the park. I can totally understand where Frankie's coming from, but I can also jump on the other side and say Mark makes a good point, because you've got to have that consistency.
I was going to say, you know, you say you take the gamble, but should it be a gamble? You know, I get Carter Vickers and Jota did set the bar high. It's a gamble just plucking Bernardo's name at the blue and saying 7 million for a 22-year-old. He's hardly played in Portugal, but...
That gamble's got to come for the manager who works with him every day.
But that's
day.
What I'm saying. It shouldn't be a gamble.
And 22 years of age.
You've got a season. You know what I mean? You've judged him over this season, so it's not a gamble.
I think you've
seen him every day in training.
Yeah, I think Scottish football, you can probably highlight two or three players that have come in, Carter Vickers and Jota and all that, and hit the ground running and been brilliant. But I think there have been a lot of gambles there that clubs have taken. And they've worked out. But also, if you flip the coin out, there've been a lot of gambles that's went against clubs.
No, but what I mean is, after a year, after seeing him every day, so it's less a gamble and more of a fact.
He's not playing permanently every single week. And the reason behind that was because of Celtic midfield three were absolutely brilliant. It's like tonight, right? We're arguing the fact that Lewis Ferguson's, you know, tearing it up in Italy, but who would you replace him with in the Scotland squad?
Again, that's...
McTominay, McGinn, McGregor.
I think that's the point for Celtic. The midfield three, haven't they been brilliant this season? I think McGregor's been off it. I think O'Reilly started brilliantly. Hatate's not been in it. Turnbull was in and out. Clearly. There's been a space for somebody to grab. And Bernardo did over Christmas time, but then find himself at the team.
Thanks, Frankie. It's certainly a nice debate. Everyone's disagreeing, which is good. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. I'll try and get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. You want to keep talking Paolo Bernardo, you can. You want to go back to the international stuff, you can. Incidentally, and I've just clicked it off, I've missed a second goal, but I'll find out for you. Scotland under-21s are now 2-0 up on Kazakhstan.
Yes.
The first goal was a Josh Doig left-footed effort. He sort of just shifted it out his feet, tight angle, and smashed one into the roof of the net. So well done to Josh Doig. And we have since added a second there as well. So Lyle Cameron makes it 2. So Scotland 2, Kazakhstan 0. See, on that, did you notice today is it's the anniversary of that fateful night? Speaking of Kazakhstan, do you remember?
No.
No, you don't? Okay. It's worth forgetting. 4-0? 3.
3-0, yeah.
5 years ago tonight, we were in here. I remember we watched it in the office. Kazakhstan 3, Scotland 0.
5 years ago.
That pretty much saw the end of that sort of era, and Stevie Clark came in. Since then, got to Euro 2020 via the playoffs, got a Nations League promotion, reached the playoff for the World Cup, and now an automatic Euro qualification. It's been quite a good journey in those 5 years, hasn't it?
I've got to say, where does Stevie Clark rank up there with our Scotland managers? Because we've not got much to shout about with our Scotland managers, but considering where he's taken us from in that result and what went before, for a long, long time, he's got to be up there with one of our greats in terms of qualifying for tournaments, because that's all we can be judged on. Let's be honest, we're never going to win a tournament. So he's done a fantastic job. He's seen a lot of players within that period. But he's got a group now, a real good group playing at a top level that come together and play well together. And that was always the problem. They were coming together, playing for big clubs, but not playing well together. He's really built as a real team that we can hope progresses at the groups in Germany.
Yeah, any calls that you've got on that, or Paolo Bernardo, or something else entirely, now's a great time to share it, because I'm going to give these to a question.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
By the way, after this, before the end of the show, I have come across an unbelievable article, and it involves you in a roundabout way. really looking forward to this. Anyway, thanks to Bob and Shettleston for sending this in. It's a very straightforward question. Doesn't mean the answers are straightforward. On the full-time teaser tonight, can you name the last 10 different captains to lift the Scottish Cup? So can you name the last 10
David
different
Gray.
Captains to win the Scottish Cup? Well done.
McGregor.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you keep banging that mic?
Yeah, it's really annoying.
It's not me.
It's your hand on that.
Is it? Sorry. My apologies.
Okay. Great. Vincent. No, he wasn't the captain,
who?
Was he?
Vincent.
James Vincent. No, he scored the goal. That was for Inverness.
St Johnston captain, who's that?
Oh, of course.
St Johnston captain.
Wayne Gordon.
No.
Wasn't he Rooney, was it? No, Rooney.
Wayne Gordon, not the captain?
Don't think so. Not according to Bob and Shettleston, but there's every chance that we've had an oversight. Who's the other one that was in that?
I think it was the one that moved down south.
Yeah. Then. Oh, I don't like the silence from you.
That's ridiculous.
Wigan. Went to Wigan.
Kerr. Jason Kerr. Sean Dillon.
No. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll see what you can come up with between now and the end the show. Before the break there, we were talking about Paolo Bernardo and whether he should or shouldn't become a permanent signing. What do you think, John, on the line?
Hi, Mark, Daza and Gordon, how are yous?
Not bad, you?
Belated birthday, Daza. I meant to tell you the last time I spoke to you. Anyway.
Thank you.
About Bernardo, Mark, I think, as Gordon says, there is a player in that guy, but I would hold fire if I was Celtic to see and how he handles the pressure and the run-in to see if he comes up with the goods, to see if he's willing to pay them, Celtic are willing to pay the money. Just wonder what you think of that one.
Don't think that's a bad shout. You know, unless there's some sort of deadline put on it from the clubs, which I don't suspect there would be. I think John's on to something there, because there's some huge games coming up and that could be the difference. Of course, two games against Rangers. So you're looking for these players that you've had a sample all season to perform in the big games. Now, there's no doubt the game ran about Christmas time or just after against Rangers, he scores his goal, but he was terrific that game. So you go, right, okay, that's ticked a box. Can he do it again and again? It's six appearances in the Champions League, something like that as well. So Brendan Rodgers thought he was a man for the big occasion there. It's the stuff in between, and it's the stuff in between the games that, you know, take up the majority of the season. That's where you need to produce week after week, and the fans expect. So I think John's on to something there. Give it a bit of time if there is no deadline on it.
I mean, do you think if you're someone like Brendan Rodgers, I know it'll be a bigger picture than that, club recruitment staff and so on. Just, and I'm asking just to guess here, really. Do you think he'll have his mind made up now, or is he thinking, right, I need to see these last seven games? It's all right, fans doing that. I wonder if Brendan Rodgers, who works with him every day, has seen enough. Either way.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I think he would. I really do. You know what you got to the end.
Do you know what I mean? Are they more likely to have like a feel for it? Is what I mean.
Well, Brendan Rodgers should.
Yeah,
you know, you're looking at a top coach, top manager, knows players, worked with young players, developed young players, will know the signs. So I would be very surprised if he says to Brendan Rodgers just now, you know, is he going to be someone going forward for you in the future? Yes or no? I don't think he'd sit in the fence. I think he would know the answer to that.
So John, are you very much on the fence then? Is that why you want this last period? If you were leaning one way or the other, what do you think?
No, I would actually, as I said to Michael, the producer there, I don't know, maybe it'll if Hatate goes, I think maybe they will sign him. But I think he's, as Gordon said, I think he's, there's something about the guy, I like him. Sometimes I just don't think he does enough in games, but I think he's got, there's definitely a talent there, so there is.
Do you know
definitely.
What? The last two calls, though, have opened eyes to what might worry other Celtic. But first caller said, I think Matt O'Reilly will go and Bernardo can replace him. And now John's saying, I think Hatate will go. That would be, you know, either of them, would be a massive void to fill, albeit not seen much of Rio Hatate this season.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if they don't go, because if you look at the amount of games that now that are played for the top teams over a season, It's certainly a squad game. You've noticed that since the new manager of Rangers come into the building, try to use the squad as much as possible. You look at the injuries just now to Celtic in the middle of the park, where you would think, oh, we don't need a player to come in January and play. We had McGregor, we've had Hatate, we've got Riley, they're the best three. All of a sudden, two of them are missing and been missing for a few weeks now. So I think you need, obviously, a squad that you've got to rotate and be confident enough that they're going to step up and do the job.
How pleasing was it to hear Rio Hatate played 45 minutes in a bounce game, John, recently?
Brilliant, man. It's, I know it's a little cliche that it's like a new signing, but he'll all be like a new signing. He always thumbs up against Rangers, so it is. So I think it's going to be interesting, but I still think we'll win the league. Can I make another point before? Just a quick point.
Sure.
See, I've tried to get this point on before about the VAR, right? Not just about VAR, worldwide. See all this, oh, the ball hits your hand, you weren't in there, it didn't mean to hit it, this, etc., blah, blah, blah. Do you know, I think, the way I look at it is, if the ball hits your hand, no matter if it meant it or not, just give you a penalty, and then it would stop all the conspiracy theories. It would be, oh, well, that's it, a handball, that'd be it.
We nearly made it through the show without talking about VAR, and I've seen, John's not alone, I've seen loads of people do that, because then you know that it's black and white. It would also be absolute carnage, wouldn't it? Just, yeah. You know, so the ball blasted at a player from 6 inches away and his hand's completely by his side and it hits it, and then penalties are getting given. And I know people say, like John, and I've heard loads of others, to be fair, saying, well, at least you know where you stand.
Yeah, but
I still feel like a week into that we'd be tearing our hair out.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the disagreements would have been incredible. You look at the example we had at the weekend with Celtic. What's the lad? I don't know what he's supposed to do with his hand. You know, it's and Celtic don't get a penalty kick.
I mean, it would bring about consistency.
Yeah, but you get into that territory.
At what cost is that? What you mean?
I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to find a way of ruining the game. I think we need to look at the handball situation. I think we need to get better with VAR. I need to think we need to move on and try and help as much as we can. But I don't want to start ruining. But every time the ball goes into the box and it would hit a player's hands, apparently. I totally understand John's point, because sometimes you look at the game just now and you think that's certainly the way it's going, but I think it would ruin our game. And our game's too good a product to ruin. Look,
speaking of refereeing decisions, Scotland 21s have got a penalty. It's just a long ball. I think Conor Barron over the top, Tommy Conway, Bristol City striker, absolutely wiped out by the goalkeeper, no doubt about it. Penalty, and Conway himself is going to take, and he just steps up with the right foot. Oh, it's very calm, a bit of composure there. Rolls it in. Scotland 3 Kazakhstan 0 for the under 21s. Thanks very much to John, though, for getting in touch tonight on 01419511025. Right, how are you two faring on this teaser? Bob asks, the last 10 captains to lift the Scottish Cup: Callum McGregor, Jason Kerr, and David Gray.
Dave McKay.
Yep.
St. Johnston. Yeah,
Tavernier.
Uh-huh.
And is Andy it? Webster.
Yes, we'll get the rest of the answers.
Well,
I've got
done.
I've got this article. We have a big discussion to be had.
Nothing to do with me.
Coming up next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Okay, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need, and you can tweet us as well. We're almost out of time, actually. It's been a fast show, but you could still get your calls in. The under 21 still beating Kazakhstan 3-0, and we're building up to the game tomorrow as well. Right, how are you doing on this teaser? We're looking for various bits of paper. Can you name the last 10 captains to lift the Scottish Cup?
Who we got?
You have got
McGregor.
Yep.
Gray, Jason Kerr, Dave McKay, Andy Webster, James Tavernier we've got so far.
What about Craig Gordon? Hearts. Was he captain?
No.
We forgot Scott Brown. He's on there.
Well, obviously.
Yes. So that's another one. What about...
who's captain?
Zalioukis.
Yes.
That's who's captain at Hearts.
Well done.
So. Okay, like so what, you only got two to get?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hold on, we've got them, I think. I don't know.
Too obvious.
Yeah. He's got Barry Ferguson, David Weir. That's too obvious, isn't it?
David Weir, well done. Right, only one. We've only got one to get, so you can You can get it before ponder. The end of
we'll
the show.
Ponder. We'll sure. ponder, as I say.
We will leave it there. Right, let me check in on that again. You're still 3-0 to the 21s. Probably going to be that way until half time, I would have to imagine. Anything else? Oh, I've actually got bad news for you, Gordon DL, and well, for me as well. There's an inevitability, I think, about this, but reports tonight Blair Spittle pre-contract with Hearts.
I'm not surprised.
No, it's still a blow though, isn't it, to the Steelmen?
Yeah,
he's been absolutely brilliant.
He's been the main man. He's been terrific. And you know, I'm not surprised that a club like Hearts would come calling for you, especially after his season's had. He's just become he's become such a better player this season. He's all round game, everything about him, and that's a big blow for Motherwell, because you know we looked at Van Veen, but to be fair to Kettlewell, he went out and he got guys that could score goals, and Motherwell have scored goals, but he'll need to go out and get someone that can contribute the way Spittle can.
That's going to be difficult because he creates and he scores. A good player who's found his certainly found his feet this year. I think taking on that added responsibility with Van Veen's way has really suited him. So no doubt it's a blow, but it's the food chain, isn't it? When you're a club like Motherwell.
To be fair, it wasn't the biggest blow you could have gave. I thought you were going to say there was a traffic jam somewhere on the way home.
That sums you up. We're talking football here.
I was more concerned about that.
Wow. But yeah, is that when it's a certain, you know, if you're Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, you know, generally your better players are always going to have that, you know, Hibs, Hearts,
well, Hearts
Aberdeen, and you're talking, yeah. I wouldn't know for sure, but double, treble,
yeah,
wages, that sort of thing. And I mean, certainly double.
Mark will tell you, you've only one career. You've got caravans and boats to buy, in Mark's case. So yeah, you've got to expensive. Make as... You've got to make as much money. You can't blame the lad. He's waited his contract up. He's been brilliant. Sad to see him go, because I think it is a big, big miss for Motherwell.
It's a progression for him as well. If Hearts are in Europe as well, you know, it's money's everything to this guy, but maybe guys like Blair Spittle will see that as well. If he plays in Europe...
More money.
Gets better bonuses for qualifying, but he'll want to test himself at the top level in international football. Is that the question? Probably now for him, especially in his position. So he wants to play at the highest level, and Hearts can offer European football to go along with battling for third place.
I suppose that it's always an interesting one, that pre-contract, because I don't know if the clubs were planning on making it official. It's a report I saw it in the Daily Record there, amongst others. So, you know, I don't think... It's always a bit of an awkward one for fans, though, isn't it?
Go ahead, boom.
I mean, sometimes that happens. I'm sure it would be fully committed and all the rest of it.
Hearts are starting to do their business quite quickly this season.
There's another report about James Penrice from Livingston as well, actually. So,
and Matt's favourite player, they've already got him, haven't they?
Yandanda, yeah.
Oh, aye. Yeah,
got reading the
plenty,
lower.
Listen, plenty of creativity there.
Of the Scottish Premiership.
Yeah, so, and if you keep Shankland, that's what he will thrive off of.
No,
guys
keep
like
Shankland.
Him. No, Shankland will be away.
No chance.
They've already spent his wages on Penrice, Dan, and Spittle.
Yeah. Right, this article. I'm honestly delighted about this, right? I mean.
Is it sure it's me?
How this stuff lands on my lap when I'm trying to prepare for this show, right? Is an article in Glasgow World.
No, I've never heard
publication.
I often read that.
And eight is such a specific number as well. Eight of the most famous people from Motherwell.
Tell them I'm up there.
That's what the article's called, right? Incredible. I don't know if this is in order, right? But so number one, Anam Kesar, forgive my pronunciation, MP for Airdrie and Shotts, raised in Motherwell, apparently, right?
I can't be more famous than me.
Number two is Murray Hunter, a well-known and respected comedian and writer, apparently starred in Channel 4 sketch show Absolutely.
Okay.
Can't say I'm overly familiar with the work of the first two so far, but we'll get in there. Neil Bratchpiece, the wee man. Remember the wee man? He's a comedian, and it was a sort of sketch, sort of dressed like kind of neddy guy.
Aye, I'm going to say aye.
And there's a picture if that helps.
Right, I'm not looking. Just keep going. I'm excited. Hold on a minute.
Hold on. The next one's good.
If you're beating me,
the next one's good. I say good. a figure that used to get mentioned loads on this show, maybe not so much anymore. At number four on the list is Craig White.
Oh, aye.
Remember him? You heard about him?
Yeah.
Followed
yeah,
his career closely. Yeah,
what a list this is.
It's quite something.
In terms of list,
it?
This is staggering.
Yeah. Number five, you knew this guy had to be on there. Tam Cowan,
yeah. Well, listen, I'm quite happy
media
with that.
Industry.
I know where this is going, mate.
Number six, they've gone for a band, an entire band, the La Fontaines.
Oh, aye.
I
yeah,
actually
know them.
Went to school with a couple of them. Good guys.
Yeah.
Good tunes as well.
Can't believe Neil Ridge knowing that.
The way that it's worked is perfect. So number seven is Deborah Orr, journalist, author, that sort of thing. You heard of her book. She published quite a famous book recently, no? Number seven.
Right, okay. Yes.
And the way it's worked out is absolutely perfect. Just the suspense. Who's right in there at number eight?
That's not me. He's winding me.
Who's in there at number eight?
I fell hook, line, and sinker for that. Who's in there? It must be somebody that is going to annoy me.
No, not at all. It's you.
Gordon Deal.
No, it's not. It's Keir Hardy, who was the founder of the Scottish Labour Party. How are you not in the top eight most famous people from Motherwell?
Well, mate, what? Do you know something?
I am offended.
My heart was going there, right?
I wouldn't have said you were in it.
I tell you now, I'd have had that all over social media.
You were well excited there. I can tell with your voice.
I am offended on your behalf, right?
So
with no disrespect to the names of you are more famous than half of those people, I would say.
Half of Motherwell's named after me. The school, the steelworks.
I mean, I'm happy with a couple
the
of
park.
Them. And I won't pick. Like I said, I don't want to criticise any individuals. I'm happy with some of them. I think they deserve to be. But you are definitely a local celebrity.
100%.
I've seen the way people flock to you when you're walking around Asda.
I know,
and all
people,
the rest of it.
People go to these supermarkets just to meet me.
Can you believe he's not made that
well,
list?
Well, if I was in the electric bar and that list of people were in there, I'd be disappointed not to see him.
I'd be surprised to see Keir Hardy in there, quite frankly.
Did they name the school after him?
There's a school named after him, actually. That's a sports centre, I think.
Is
that a
sport?
Nickname as well, Hardy?
No. Yeah, school. Keir Hardy was a school. Yeah, used to play against him.
But seriously, I thought, when I saw the headline, I was so excited. I thought, he has to be in the top.
But you know what annoys me about that, right? You built me up there for a fall.
I'm annoyed that you kind of saw it coming.
Reeling you in.
He saw it coming at the end. I was actually thinking
he was going to mention his cell at number seven.
What was behind the article? Why Motherwell's famous
no
an
idea.
Eight?
An eight, such a specific. Do you think it was 10?
They've got 10 in the middle. There's not enough worthy people. We've got Gordon Deal here. We can put in.
No.
Cut it at eight.
I mean, look, Keir Hardy.
And plus,
you're thinking
eight was my number.
Proper historical figure with a real impact on the country and so on and beyond. And I get some of these. I'm amazed you're not in the top eight.
I'm a big
The wee man's in before you.
I don't even know some of them are, by the way. I'll tell you what.
That shows what you're thought of.
I'll be writing to my local MP tomorrow.
Oh, you know who it is.
Exactly.
Number one in the list, never forget it.
I'll be spray painting Keir Hardy. DL.
I'm amazed. I really thought.
School, everything.
Can we get a?
Do you think if there was a Bayliston one, Broomhouse one, I'd be in it.
Should we get a campaign going for you to be named in the top eight?
Get my public to get me in there.
I'm actually genuinely disappointed on your behalf. I just assumed when I saw the headline.
I've given so much to that town, so much.
Especially recently, you know, this show has made you go to new levels in
look
the last.
At, look
at, on the map,
look at when I was young, leaving DL High School. And showing the young people the path to go and live your dream. But unfortunately, I became a footballer.
I do think it's more I think it's more your media career, I think, would have had you in there. But
you think so?
Well, Lee McCulloch could be another shout. He's got to be in there. Scotland, multiple Scotland caps.
Let's find out who's compiled that list. What did you say, guys? Glasgow?
Glasgow World. Give us
Glasgow
a call.
Glasgow World.
Gordon Deal wants a word. Right, let's finish off with tonight's teaser. Can you name the last 10 captains to lift the Scottish Cup? Callum McGregor, obviously, James Tavernier, Jason Kerr, Scott Brown, David Gray, Dave Mackay, Marius Zaliukas, Andy Webster and Davy Weir, which means you've got one more to get.
Stuck.
Aberdeen.
You two are just not even won the Scottish Cup in that time. You're not methodical enough. Because at some point you actually did mention the team that you're looking for, and you've just forgotten all about that and moved on to something else.
Inverness, isn't it?
Correct.
Aye. And it was
Mackay.
I've already said Dave Mackay.
Did
Easton
you?
St Johnson.
Who was Inverness captain? It's actually quite a
Shinny.
Yeah, Graham Shinny.
So it was
Shinny. Yeah.
And there we are.
Big night. Need to shout out to Thistle women's team. Sorry. Good luck. Big cup final.
Well, yep, I mean, I was going to do it tomorrow, but since you're an employee,
I know, but I'm not there tomorrow. So good luck, Thistle ladies. Good luck, Brian Graham.
And all the best to Rangers as well. May football be the real winner.
No. No, good luck, Thistle.
He's not forgetting who pays his wages, is he? Right. We're back tomorrow at 6. Looking forward to it. Hugh Keevans, I've been receiving pictures. Hugh Keevans is at the boxing interviewing Irvin Welsh, apparently. I've had a picture of the two of them. So we'll get the post-match analysis tomorrow, and Callum is up next.